Welcome, everyone, to Miracle Business Breakthrough. This is your host, Amy Yamada, and I'm so excited to have you joining us for our speaker series. And joining me today is a very special person and business expert, coach, and mentor, Tracy Sieber. And with more than two decades of experience in both the corporate and entrepreneurial worlds, Tracy works with companies and individual clients with a no-fluff approach and a business-savvy eye. The reason I'm introducing Tracy to all of you is that she and her company help businesses achieve corporate success through every aspect of business, from creating systems and streamlined processes to recruiting, hiring, and training top talent for your own team. And to top it off, Tracy and her team of performance consultants work with entrepreneurs and companies to propel enterprises to their best. So welcome, Tracy. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, Amy. It's such a pleasure to be here. I'm happy to help you with your miracle business breakthroughs and talk to all of the people that you have connections
yes,
with.
Yes, absolutely. It's been such a fun experience so far, and so I'm so glad to be chatting with you. And I believe when we were chatting in prior conversations, I realized that I had connected with you at a conference a few years back in Salt Lake City. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
Yes, it is.
Funny to think how small this world is, and how sometimes we come across the same circles of entrepreneurs and business owners. So I'm so glad that we've been able to come back together in this way so I could feature you mm-hmm. as one of our wonderful speakers. So thank you again for joining us.
You're welcome.
So what I would love to do is for have you take us on a little journey and go back in time, if you will. Mm-hmm. And if you can think back to some of your own kind of quote-unquote miracle business breakthroughs, if you could describe that for us, we'd love to hear some parts of your own journey to where you are today.
Sure, absolutely. I started my business, actually I incorporated before I left the corporate world and started my own business, but I didn't leave my job for another five, almost 6 months. And so for me, I thought that, you know, that was the right thing to do, and it worked really well. I had money set aside and, you know, thought I had it all planned out, but as you know, in business, it doesn't always work out that way.
Right.
So it was very, very fortunate that within a few months, I did have my first contract, and it was a fairly large contract. But, you know, some of the things that along the way that I really found is I thought that because I was going from corporate into business, that I needed to start kind of at ground zero. And I've seen a lot of clients that we've had in the past and, you know, even have today, feel that same way, that they have to start from ground zero when they start a business. Mm-hmm. And I really encourage people to not think that way, because I think that that kind of held me back. Like I said, within a couple of months, I had, you know, large $30,000 contract, but then I kept believing what other people were telling me, that you have to crawl before you walk and walk before you run. And mm-hmm. so, you know, what they were encouraging me to do was to charge lower prices and just, you know, just get the work and, you know, don't worry about charging big prices, just go after the low prices. And I actually found that harder to do than to go out and talk to somebody at the level that I was at or used to talking to people at.
Right.
So, you know, I really encourage, if you've been, you know, in a job or have some experience or in the corporate world, whatever it is, don't think you have to start at ground zero when you start a business. Come into your business as the expert that you are, and then move forward from that point.
That is so great. So, yeah, it totally makes sense. So just to dig a little bit deeper on that, because I know that our listeners, are some of them are newer coaches and newer entrepreneurs, newer business owners, and they might be thinking in their mind, well, what really is my expertise? Since I'm new at owning my business, you know, a lot of people feel like, what if I feel like a fraud in calling myself an expert? I think we've all heard that. So how can mm-hmm. people really think about determining their own level of expertise or what is their expertise at all?
Mm-hmm. So when we're doing coaching with some of our clients, we always have them go through a process and go through an exercise to really take a look at, you know, themselves and the past and what is it that they've loved to do. When was it that they actually lost track of time? What were they doing? Because a lot of times that's where your passions lie, is when you're so involved in doing something that you lose track of time, it's usually because you love doing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was actually quite difficult after I left the corporate world, because I love doing a lot of things.
Right.
And so it was okay. So I can pick one of, 25,000. And so I really had to get clear. And that's why we developed that, questionnaire and process for people to go through, is because some of the struggles that I had myself when I left was, what am I good at? I knew that I was really good at certain things, but I also thought, I don't want to do that. I don't want to just repeat what I was doing before, and mm-hmm. do it now. The difference is I'm doing kind of parts of it similar, but I'm doing it differently. So
right.
I'm doing it my way now, right? Before mm-hmm. I had to do it their way. Now I do it my way. And so, yes. Every day I was just thinking this morning and when I woke up, and how, you wake up and you can't wait to get to work and you want to bound out of bed, just like little kids. And that, when that's happening, if that's not happening to you or for you, you need to make a change. And if that is happening, then you're on track and on task.
Right. And I love what you said about, asking that really great question of, when was the last time you lost track of time? I've never really heard of it in that way or thought of it in that way, but that is so such a great way to describe those moments, where hopefully everyone that's listening has had those moments in their life, in their business, or even in their career. And I love those days, And now as an entrepreneur, similar to you, I love what I do. I'm thankful to have created this world for myself for the last handful of years. And but it was, definitely there were some struggles and early on, and also I can relate to what you're saying in terms of when you're passionate about many things or you feel like, I do feel like I have skill sets in several different areas. So what exactly am I going to do or what am I going to focus on?
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of entrepreneurs can relate to that, and at first like, I'm trying all these different things or I'm chasing a lot of shiny objects. And so I really can
appreciate
what you're saying.
I think that it's not necessarily always chasing shining objects. So that's what people tell us we're doing. And yet most times what we're doing is we're solving problems.
Right.
So as an entrepreneur, you're a natural problem solver many times.
Mm-hmm.
And so they see it as, chasing shiny objects, but it's more of learning what you need to learn and then moving on quickly. So as an entrepreneur, I find that we do think and move more quickly than a lot of other people. So we draw those connections. We automatically see the solution and we're, 10,000 steps ahead of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so for us, sometimes we need to slow ourselves down. And yet, like you said, it's really about seeing what it is that we love to do. And not everybody as an adult has had an experience of losing track of time like that. So I encourage those of you that haven't had that as an adult to go back to when you were a teenager or even, age 6 and above. What was it that you were doing that you enjoyed? It could be, I was playing. Okay, what were you playing at, right? What was it that you viewed as playing? Because many times that's the key, is what we feel is play is our natural ability. So then it's just really quite simple. It's figuring out what business can you play at and use those same skills. So it's not that you're necessarily, going to take out the Play-Doh and make a business out of playing with Play-Doh, right?
Right.
But
right.
How can that be applied to, the business world now? Where will that fit?
Definitely. And so for you, were there things that you could pinpoint even from your childhood or teenage years that relate to what you do now?
Absolutely. So when I was, a child, I grew up actually in a family of 11 children.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a full house.
So, within that, everybody has a different personality, right? I was a communicator, still am. I was the person who, if there was two sides to something, I could see both sides, which is probably why I do what I do, and I coach people, and I help businesses really and be the in-between person, right, the coordinator of things, and bringing people together and finding the right matches of people or jobs or projects. I loved to pretend I was a teacher, when I was a little girl, right? So
yeah.
Part of that is I've I do training, sales training, management training, leadership training, you know, all of those things. Like I say, when I was a little girl, when I look back, I can see what I'm doing, you know, follows through to present day. And that's why I can, you know, love getting out of bed in the morning and, right. you know, bound into work is because yeah. I can't wait to get started. The other thing for me is, you know, variety. So if mm-hmm. I'm doing the same thing day after day after day after day, I get bored. Mm-hmm. And so I know that about myself, that I need variety. So mm-hmm. that means that, you know, in certain jobs, I'll be happy for a short period of time. Now, short could be 2 years, you know, or 3 years or 5 years. But mm-hmm. before long, I have to be challenged again. I also love learning. So mm-hmm. if I'm not learning in my job, I have to make sure that I'm getting that fulfilled in some other way, learning in my evenings, you know, learning in some other way.
Right. Wow, that's great. And so when you think back to, you know, those earlier stages of your business, and so you went from kind of bringing on some really great clients and then hearing from people that you need to start slow and all these things, and you really kind of realized, you know what, actually I don't need to do that. What was mm-hmm. kind of the next breakthrough or next step for you in your journey?
Mm. So, you know, I was a sales trainer in the corporate world since 96. So
okay.
I started my business 2009. So I've been, you know, a sales trainer for many years. And I had done some sales. But I also discovered by, you know, starting my own business that training sales and doing sales for yourself is very mm-hmm. different than doing sales for someone else.
Right.
So I had no problem selling. I was actually an affiliate manager for two online real estate companies in the evening while I worked in the corporate world and was an executive. But that was my fun stuff, right? So mm-hmm. I was connecting with people in the evenings and building up their company by doing affiliate management. And, you know, when I then started my own business, it was like it was a conscious effort. I got in my head too much almost.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had to really connect with my inner guidance to say, okay, I know how to train sales. You know, why isn't this working? What's going on? Well, I was doing the routine sales according to the book, and I wasn't uh-huh. necessarily putting my own personality in it. So, you know, training sales and doing sales, especially doing sales for yourself, can be very different things. And so a lot of times we're helping people through that, figuring mm-hmm. out how do I sell my business, sell myself, right, really, in my
right.
business, and not feel like I'm selling myself.
Right, exactly. And, you know, this mm-hmm. is such a great topic because I know there's so many entrepreneurs and newer coaches and consultants, and this is an area of struggle, you know, when they haven't really found their own way of selling, or it's just an area that they really are uncomfortable. So what would you say to those newer entrepreneurs and coaches who are really trying to get to that kind of more of a comfortable level with selling so they don't feel like they're either pushing somebody into doing something or kind of feeling salesy, if you will?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I would say connect with your own inner guidance. And you do things naturally in a certain way. So, yes, take sales training or get a mentor or someone to help you. But you always have to come back to who are you and how do you connect naturally with people. So remember that the sales training or the guidance that you receive from somebody, and I paid some, you know, very large dollars to different people, and I always then had to keep reminding myself that, hold it. I know who I am. I know mm-hmm. how I connect with people. So what mm-hmm. parts of what they're saying can I, you know, pull from and apply in my situation? So
right.
I wasn't becoming them. I wasn't, you know, changing my whole way of doing and being. And at first I tried. I thought, mm-hmm. okay, they're the expert. I have to do it their way, right?
Right.
So I tried their way, and it just didn't work for me.
Mm-hmm.
So then I had to come back to, okay, who am I? How do I connect with people? How do I just naturally sell? And
mm-hmm.
then what parts of what I just learned can be applied here in these situations to make it even better?
Right. Yeah, the power of connection is so huge. And it's just when I think about how even in my own journey, how I was trained in sales and how I sell today, which doesn't even feel like selling anymore, really. It's just night and day, you know, and it was definitely valuable to go through that experience of selling in the corporate world and understanding it from that standpoint, but it's just been a much more pleasant journey doing it on my own, in my own authentic way, and when I've helped others in that realm as well, I just think about how hopefully at the end of the day it's about people helping people, you know, especially if you're in a service-based business. And when you think of it from that standpoint, it's a lot more, it's just that happier place to be, I guess, you know, in terms of really, you know, having that rewarding experience of saying, hey, is this something that you're interested in, or is this something that will help you, you know, provide a solution? And if so, let's collaborate. So I love
Right, and really,
about.
Amy, you know, that's the no attachment to the outcome, right?
Right,
because
right.
Because when we get attached to that outcome, that's when, you know, we can seem desperate or feel desperate, or sometimes we are desperate, you know, and that never sells. So really focusing on the client, focusing on the customer, and not being in your own head. Because if you are coming from that place of attachment or desperate, that's focusing on you, right?
Right.
Instead,
right.
Focus on, like you just said, how can I help this person? What do they have going on, and how is what I do going to help them, right? And so it's really helping them to understand how you can help them. And and we, as the person that's doing the sales or the business owner or running a business, we need to focus on what is it that our clients need and how can I help them with that need? How can I fill that need for them?
Right, definitely. So knowing just with your background and your experience, what would you say is one of the biggest mistakes entrepreneurs make kind of early on in their business or when it comes to selling?
I think one of the biggest mistakes is when they do get money, it's pretty much gone as soon as it's here, right?
Right.
So whether it's paying past bills or suddenly they think, oh, I can now do this, and then it's gone again.
Right.
So not necessarily having a wealth mindset. And what I mean by that is whether you're in business or even for yourself, rather than looking at things as an expense kind of has a connotation that you throw the money away, right? It's gone.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Instead, look at it as an investment and really think about, is this something that I want to invest in?
Right.
Rather than, is this something I want to spend money on?
Right.
You see the difference?
Absolutely. And
with an investment. Yeah, with an investment, you expect a return on investment. Right? With an expense, you don't.
Right. It's like throwing it out the window.
So, exactly. You become more discerning when you're looking at it as an investment that you're going to get return on investment on.
Definitely. So one thing I wanted to also ask you about is in your business, your company, you also help when it comes to hiring the right team and training them. Can you tell us a little bit about at what point do you recommend newer entrepreneurs to start building their team? Because I know that can be a bit of a struggle early on, thinking, okay, now I'm at a certain point and I could really use some support and I've been doing everything on my own. Should I or shouldn't I hire that first person or contract that first, you know, contractor to help me with administrative tasks, for example?
Well, I would say when you have all of your time. Now, remember, you could be doing your business full time or part time, or you know, less than full time, or you could be doing it full time plus. but when you have your time being used to produce sales has to be the first part of business. And I know a lot of people don't like to hear that. They like to, you know, get the back office stuff done first and become busy with the administrative work. And I always say, you know, without sales, you really don't have a business.
Right.
So sales has to be your primary focus. And if you aren't good at sales, you need to get good at sales so that you can then hire someone else to do sales. But if you aren't good at sales, then let's say you do hire a good salesperson, you're really tied to that good salesperson. Your business is dependent on that person. And if they leave, your business can really flounder.
Right.
So sales has to be your first priority. And then once you have the sales and the fulfillment becomes too much, then you can decide, am I going to hire someone to help with sales or help with fulfillment? And I encourage everyone to not think about having to hire someone full-time. With virtual assistants now, that can be a really great way to start, because you can usually hire them, you know, for as little as 10 hours a month. And I remember when I hired my first VA, that's exactly what I did, was 10 hours a month. And, you know, at, I think it was, I don't know, $20 or $30 an hour. And to me at that time, it was like, oh, it's $10, you know, $30 an hour, it's $300 a month, I don't know, you know, because there wasn't a lot of money coming in. Right. And yet I also had to look at it as, okay, can that person, the things that I'm giving them, can it then allow me or them to generate that much and more?
Right.
Right. So I looked at it again as an investment, that I need to be responsible and give them the things that are going to generate us money, or I need to give them the things that allow me to generate us the money.
I love that you, the way in which you describe that, because I think that everyone who's listening right now who is at that point where they're kind of thinking about hiring somebody but are not sure, I just, in terms of really making sales your number one priority, and then once you've gotten to that point where, you know, the sales and fulfillment is too much, then hiring somebody for either covering one or the other. That's such a great strategy or step-by-step process that I think a lot of people will take advantage of. You know, it's a really great recommendation. So thank you for that, first of all.
You're welcome.
And when it comes to virtual assistants, where would you say you would recommend as far as a great resource to find a good virtual assistant?
So there's some different places out there. You can always Google virtual assistants and then virtual assistant your area if you want them in your area. I didn't have a prerequisite that they had to be in my local, you know, geographical area. So I went to actually a few different places where virtual assistants list themselves or places where they were trained, because it's not necessarily that they needed training, but some of the things I found that I first off hired someone with some technical abilities. I have technical abilities. It just took me longer to have to, I knew that my skills were, I have great skills in technology, but I knew that that wasn't something that I absolutely loved to do.
Right.
So I had the ability, but that was one of the 25,000 things that I could do.
Right.
But I also knew that I didn't want to be doing that all the time.
Right.
And so there's AssistU is a great resource. Stacy is the one that owns that. And what you do, it kind of helps you to, she has a great form to fill out in the beginning, and it helps you to get clear on what you need. And then she has a, you know, a database of virtual assistants, and they kind of match you up.
Oh, that's great. So it's assistu.com?
So A-S-S-I-S-T and then the letter U. And I think it's .com. I'd have to check, but yes.
Yes.
Yeah. If you just Google AssistU, you'll find it. But there's other ones like that. I just can't remember the other ones off the top of my head, but there's other ones like that. Virtual assistant training, you know, if you Google that, you'll find some different lists of sites where people list themselves. And the other thing, I've also used ODesk. That was really good, especially in the beginning.
ODesk?
So ODesk, O-D-E-S-K.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, ODesk. Okay.
And then
I think I've heard about that one.
Also,
yeah.
Yeah. There's also Elance, but that's more for technology projects, like programming and things like that. So definitely AssistU and ODesk is where I found my first virtual assistant.
That's great. And from then, when you think about continuing to expand, what would you say would be the next step in terms of bringing on someone? Because I think there's a lot of people have been asking about kind of like bookkeeping or having a good accountant. You know, there's so many different areas once you get to that level. So do you have a recommendation of who you would have as kind of another assistant?
Definitely the bookkeeping, if that's not your strong point. And having, like, the way that we started was we had somebody doing the bookkeeping, and it was really just almost a high school girl or someone just out of university or out of high school or university or college who did the books for us. She did the data entry, and then we would take that and work with our accountant. So we had an accountant that we weren't paying all the time, only at certain times of the year when they looked at our information. So that worked really well in the beginning because you didn't have a high expense all the time, but you had, you know, somebody coming in, doing the data entry, taking care of, you know, of things and making sure things were getting paid. And then we would sit down with the accountant, and then you're prepared to pay, you know, the higher dollar amount for the accountant. But the thing that is that it saves them time too, because everything's in order. So they know business. And they can easily take a look and have a conversation with you.
Yeah, this is all so helpful. You know, it's just when newer entrepreneurs are looking at people who have had a lot more experience and are much further along in their business, then these are some of the questions I know that they're really curious about, because they think, how do you even get to that point? Like, it just seems so far off. So I really appreciate you kind of taking us through some step-by-step processes that we can take in order to really take it to the next level. So thank you.
You're welcome.
Golden nuggets. Those are great. So let's bring it kind of to present day. So what are you focusing on now with your business?
So now, I mean, we have a lot of different areas. I have an office. So I started with a home office, and it was just me. And then I had a home office with a virtual assistant or a couple of virtual assistants. And then I hired someone locally part-time on contract, so that there wasn't the commitment of being an employee. And then I ended up with three people working in my home. They were, you know, in the living room and at the kitchen table and, you know, different places like that. And we actually converted one bedroom. It had two desks in it, you know, so that they could work in there. And then we graduated to an office, a small office, and now we've graduated to a larger office. We have nine people on staff right now. Yeah, so we've done the growth, but we've taken it step by step along the way and, you know, really take a look at what's happening. And again, always going back to, are the sales supporting what you're doing, right? It always has to be that sales support what you're doing, because if it's not, you know, then you crumble, right? So you need to make sure that you have the business to support what you're doing. Now, I mean, we help businesses with growth, and so we do help them in the areas of online and offline marketing. We help them with streamlining processes and automation, and we help them with the hiring, team building, sales training, management training, and leadership training. And, you know, recently we've been approached, actually about a year ago we started, we were approached by someone to help with international trade. And it's kind of, you know, fun and interesting and new. And yet really, as I, you know, talk to the people in the international trade world, it's exactly what I've been doing for years. So I worked in the financial industry. So it's really bringing just all of that knowledge together and doing some of the, like I said earlier, some of the training, you know, that ever since a little girl, I've been a trainer. So some of it is teaching people certain things. Some of it is coordinating and bringing the right people together and the right project. You know, there's different aspects to it that I can definitely see that my entire life really was, you know, gearing me up for this, even though I didn't know it all along the way.
Right. Definitely. That's great. How exciting.
Yeah.
Fun. Yeah. And I love kind of hearing your journey also from going from the home office all the way up to the larger office with your staff. It's just, it's exciting to hear about those steps that, that entrepreneurs can take and know that it's possible, you know. So a lot of our listeners are newer entrepreneurs and coaches and consultants, and they would love to know how to get to that first sweet spot in business of earning $10,000 each month consistently. And so I'm asking each of our wonderful experts to share their top three tips that our listeners can apply right away in their business to work towards that goal. So what top three tips would you be willing to share with our listeners today?
I would have to say, you know, don't be afraid to get out in the community if you're doing local, or out online through social media. reaching out to people, because it's the connections that brings you the business, right? It's the conversation. So sitting behind your computer and trying to do everything that way isn't going to do it. You'll get some success, but you need to make sure that you're either getting on the phone or getting, you know, physically face-to-face in front of people in different ways. So that could be networking events. It could be going to a, you know, sportsman's dinner if that's going on, or, you know, an event put on by, let's say, Rotary or something like that. So I'm not saying going to the meeting every week after week. That can do it as well. But what I've found is it's really the social events that builds the connection, right? So if there's a big golf tournament, even if you don't golf, volunteer at the golf tournament.
Right.
So there's always a way to get involved. And just being out in the community can help you to build some of those connections. And then, I mean, we always support our face-to-face connections with connecting with them on social media, whether it's LinkedIn or Facebook. We either come home and connect with them after, or if we know that there's certain people there, we'll connect with them before that. And, you know, even that, if you connect before, it can be a, oh, hey, Amy, I remember you connected with me a couple of days ago. Hey, great to see you here, right?
Right, exactly.
So, yeah. So just having the different modes and mediums and using them in strategic ways. So not just sending a, you know, blast out to people, and make sure you personalize everything. It's all about the connection. So the second tip I would say would be focus on the sales. Without, like I said earlier, without sales, you really don't have a business. And I see a lot of people struggling to get the sales. So get the training you need, or, you know, hire someone to coach you through. We do, you know, sales training for 6 months with people, because we don't want people to slip back into old habits. And we want to make sure that we hold them accountable and yet hold them where they are and help them to move forward. I mean, one client of ours, she started, she was starting her interior design business, and she started charging $500 for her interior design fee. And we do 6 month contracts. So at the end of the first 6 months, actually at 4 months, she ended up getting a $44,000 design fee.
Wow, and that is so great.
Yeah, and at the end, she then signed on for another 6 months. And just before the end of the second 6 months, she actually had an $80,000 day.
Wow. That's amazing. Very exciting.
And I mean, she was, you know, going through a divorce at the same time, and, like, had a lot of, you know, things going on and turmoil. And yet she still was able to grow her business like that. Now, know that it wasn't the same client. She started as interior designer with do-it-yourself clients, and we up-leveled her marketing as part of the coaching. We, you know, I would have her do certain things in a certain order, and she would have to write, you know, this, and then she'd send it to me, and then I'd review it, and we'd switch things around. I'd explain to her why we were doing that, so that she could then, by the end of our time together, she could write those things, you know what I mean, without, she sent it to me and I just say, yeah, that's great, because that's our goal, is not to have somebody tied to us. It's to really give you wings, right, so that you can flourish. And then when you need help again, absolutely come back to us. But we don't want to hold you hostage. We don't want you tied to us. We want you to be able to move forward.
Right. That is so great.
Yeah, and the third thing.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Earning $10,000 a month, make sure that you're tracking your finances, because many times there are, you know, little things that are kind of sucking money and you're not even aware of it, you know. It could be that going out for lunches is costing you a lot. It could be some of the programs that you've signed up for have a monthly fee that's coming out every month. And, yeah, you know, it's only $47, but when you've got 10 of them, it's $470 a month, right?
Right.
So you want to make sure that you're paying attention to what's coming in and going out of your account every month. So track both the income, especially the income, and the expenses as well.
So good. You know, and it's one of those things that I think a lot of people, they might do it for a little bit, but then they stop doing it and they're like, wait a minute, where's the revenue coming in? Where is it going out? And it just becomes this accounting nightmare, right? So tracking is really important. And even when you know, as you're emphasizing sales, I mean, I think about how important it is to really track what you're doing in sales as well. Because if you, again, sometimes I'll work with clients, and I'm sure you've had this experience in the past where we'll say, well, I'm doing all these things, but nothing's happening. It's like, well, what are you doing to really generate revenue for your business? And they're like, well, and they're just kind of shuffling papers on their desk at their home office and not really getting out there. So tracking what you're doing and being honest with yourself, I think is really great. So those are really, really great tips. And those can really set all of you up for success as you are moving forward. So thank you for sharing those. And
you're welcome.
So if somebody wants to work with you, how can they work with you and your team?
Yeah, so there's different ways to work with us and at different levels as well. We do have, you know, starter packages, and then we do work with some of the large companies, like I said, with international trade as well. But it depends on the level that you're at as to what's right for you. And know that we're not the cheapest person on the block. I will tell you that right now. But we're focused on results. So I've had a lot of our clients have, some of them I've even turned away in the beginning, and they, you know, went to somebody else, and then they came back because they said, look, I paid her all this money, him or her, and I didn't get any results, or I didn't get the results I expected, right? So we always want to make sure that we're working with people who understand that it is an investment. It's an investment in yourself. It's an investment in your business. But it's also an expectation of a return on investment. And so that's what we're always focused on. And you know, as you work with us, you'll start to hear us continually say, okay, you're not getting return on investment, so we got to do something different here. This is not working, right? Either you're not doing it or we're not doing it. And I have had to fire clients before because if, like I say, we want results. I don't want you to just pay me for the 6 months and, you know, just have a nice chat and get to know me. That's not what it's all about. It's about getting your results. But you have to be committed and be ready to do the work. And I know when I say that, a lot of people say, oh, I didn't call you up because, you know, when you say things like that, it kind of scares me. And I'm not mean. But I definitely want you to get results. And, you know, I can't force you. I can't do it for you. It's a journey that you have to be ready to take yourself. And, you know, really, if you want business growth, work with us and definitely you'll have business growth. So the best way to get a hold of us is either to call the office at 306-636-2484 or send me an email, tracy@tracyfieber.com. So tracey@tracyfieber.com.
Perfect. And we'll make sure that that information is all on your speaker's page so everyone has access to Tracy and her team to make sure that you can really check out her website and get to know her team as well. And if this sounds appealing to you, I highly encourage you to check her out and really think about how you can best invest in your own business. And I love that you're focused on results, Tracy. That is so great. That's how it should be, right?
Yes.
Well, great. Well, Tracy, is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
One thing, actually, Amy, I was thinking about, you know, as we're going through and talking about everybody, you know, moving forward in their business, you really have to be a leader in your business. And one thing that we have developed is our Skills of a Leader program. The Skills of a Leader program, we base all of our training, whether it's a leadership training, a management training, supervisory training, on that program. And so it's a great program. We're actually doing a promotion right now for it, and I think it's on for half price. But it's a great, really basic program that has a lot of different content in it that you wouldn't really think about as an entrepreneur. So as an entrepreneur, we're just so busy sometimes, you know, in our own head, you know, trying to figure out where the next money's coming from, right?
Right.
So with this leadership skills of a leader training, you start to look at your business differently and you almost start to work on your business rather than in your business. Now, this program, when we took one of the people through it, the manager of that person, after the 6 months, said, wow, I can't believe that I've actually got somebody who's like a 2-year supervisor, and he's only been in the job 6 months.
Wow.
So this person had never supervised before, but because of the process that we took him through with the Skills of a Leader program, he was like a 2-year supervisor.
That is great.
So accepting responsibility, you know, all those things that being accountable, holding his people accountable, coaching his people, you know, all of those things, he was doing that. So as an entrepreneur, you know, I'd say invest in the program, Skills of a Leader, and it's actually at skillsofleaders.com, but it's a great program. And if it isn't, I think it's on for half price. If it isn't, just send me an email and we'll honor the, you know, half price for you. I know that there's a promotion coming up. I'm not sure if the webpage with that is up yet, but if it's not, make sure you reach out to me, tracy@tracyfieber.com, and I'll honor that half price for you.
Great. That is fantastic. So we'll make sure, again, that link is also on your speakers page so that everyone can check it out and really commit to taking your business to the next level, especially with the Skills of a Leader. That is such a great way to up-level yourself, I'm sure. I haven't taken the program, but I'm excited to check it out myself. So, Tracy, thank you so much. That's wonderful.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And I just really appreciate you being a special guest speaker for Miracle Business Breakthrough, and we do hope to chat with you again in the near future. This has been such a joy talking to you.
Thank you, Amy.
Absolutely. And to those of you who are listening to our series, I want to thank you for tuning in, and I empower you to break free and turn your small business into your dream business. All right, take care.